Well, hello, and good to be with you today on this wonderful day and to open up God's Word with you and study from the riches of the wisdom that God has provided for us and information that will help our lives be lived the very best way that they can be so that we can get the most out of life. Plus, God has given us instructions to help us to get to heaven. Today, we're going to be talking about a passage from Galatians chapter 5. It is a passage that has to do with sin and things that will keep us out of heaven. The passage is Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 19. I hope you'll look at this list. There's about 17 things in the King James Version. We're going to discuss every one of them because these are things that will keep us out of heaven. Verse 19 of Galatians 5 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And here's the King James Version. "Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." These things are important to know because those that practice these things shall not go to heaven. Now, the passage is very clear. These sins, and this is not a complete list of sins, by the way, because covetousness and lying and other things are not in this list. But these are serious matters. Now, they were having problems in the churches of Galatia. Notice chapter 5 and verse 15. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." And so they had serious conflicts. There were people who were teaching error in this set of congregations. In chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9, someone was teaching a different gospel, and he was very quick to say, "There's not another gospel." And he said, "There's some that are troubling you and perverting the gospel of Christ." And we don't want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So today we're going to talk about these sins. We're going to take the first two together. The King James Version says, "Adultery, fornication." Now, these are sins, sexual sins, and so there it involves having sex with anyone who is not, you're not married to. Adultery is having sex with someone you're not married to, and you are married. Fornication is having sex with people that you're not married to. This could include homosexuality and bestiality. It includes all kinds of things: prostitution, casual sex, living with people without being married. It would also include unscriptural marriages. According to Matthew 19 and 9, there's only one reason to put away your spouse and marry another, and that is if the guilty spouse has committed adultery or committed fornication. And so you cannot put away your spouse unless that person has committed fornication. I want to read that passage for us. Matthew 19 and 9. "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." So we're not allowed to do that. And the consequences are, we will not be allowed into heaven. I want you to read your Bible and understand the serious nature of sin. And we find out that by reading Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. This is the serious nature of sin. It says in Revelation 21 and 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers," that's fornicators, "and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You will not enter heaven, but you will go to the lake of fire. So, beloved, please do not practice adultery and do not practice fornication. If you're in a sexual relationship with somebody you're not married to, then get out of that and repent of it and be baptized if necessary. Come out of that or you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Second of all, there is the sin of uncleanness. Uncleanness. This word means impure. There's a lot of unclean things, impure things. Your clothing could be impure. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, 10 and 11, that women professing godliness should dress modestly and with shamefacedness. Shamefacedness means with sexual reserve. Your clothes can be inappropriate sexually, see-through garments, tight garments, skimpy garments, and morally unclean. You know, you can do things that are morally unclean. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 27 and 28, that we're not to look upon women and lust after them. That's impure thoughts. If you look after women and you look at women and you lust after them, you've committed adultery in your heart. Isn't that something? And so that's morally unclean. We need to avoid improper dressing of our daughters. Our daughters need to dress with a longer hemline than some of them do. Some dress too tight. Some blouses are too low. You know, preachers need to get back to preaching on this. Our young folks have gone to Bible camp. Do you know that there is a dress code at Bible camp? Your shorts have to be down to your knee. The boys and girls cannot swim together because they don't want the boys looking at the girls with the little skimpy bathing suits and lusting after them. And so they don't swim together. The boys swim at one time, then they go do something else, and then the girls go swim. And so this will keep us out of heaven. Uncleanness, adultery, fornication, an impure mind, an impure thought can keep us out of heaven. Then next in line, there is the matter of lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. You need to look these words up yourself and do some word studies, and you can do that very easily with the internet these days. But it means excess to excess, absent of restraint, indecent, shameless conduct, sensual conduct, lewd movements. You know, the modern dance has lewd body movements. Also, Thayer says, indecent handling of males and females. Well, that'd be close dancing with someone, somebody else's wife. Holding someone else's wife close to your body, that's indecent. And the way people move their body with the pelvic movements and so forth, that's lasciviousness. That's the absence of restraint. That is indecency. And Mardi Gras with its drinking and revelry, that's improper. New Year's Eve's parties. God wants us to have a wonderful life. But God wants us to be pure. God knows how we are. And he knows we need guidelines. And that's what this is. This is guidelines for us. And so we need to stop these things that we're doing and start living a pure life, a godly life. That's what God wants us to do. But in the next place, there's idolatry. Idolatry is where you put something in place of God. It could be a metal object that's made in the fashion of a calf, such as what they did at Mount Sinai in Exodus 32. They made a golden calf. They bowed down and worshiped it. That was idolatry. But another form of idolatry is money. Thinking money has all the power and not looking to God as the all-powerful one. The Bible says the root of all evil, the love of money, is the root of all evil. Colossians 3 and 5 says that covetousness is idolatry. And covetousness is idolatry, and that will keep you out of heaven. In Matthew 19, beginning with verse 16, a young man comes to Jesus and wants eternal life. Jesus says, keep the commandments. The young man responds and says, I've done all of these. I've kept those commandments of God from my youth up. Jesus said, well, if you want to be perfect and you want to have treasure in heaven, then go sell your goods, give to the poor, and follow me. The young man wouldn't do that. He was kept out of heaven. He wouldn't follow Jesus because he wanted his money more than he wanted heaven, and he wanted Jesus to be his master. Now, we've got to be careful about this matter of idolatry. But in the next place, the Bible says witchcraft. I think some versions has sorcery. And that comes from a Greek word, pharmakia. Pharmakia is where we get our word pharmacy. It involves medicines and drugs and spells. Witchcraft involves potions and getting high and drugs. You don't want to take cocaine. It'll destroy your morality. It'll destroy your mind. It'll destroy your body. And that's all a part of that witchcraft. That would involve that. Mediums and horoscopes and black magic. You know, we need to avoid this gothic look. It's a dark look. Black fingernails, black clothes, black everything. Stay away from this. This is going on all around us, beloved. I want to get to heaven, and I know you do too. We just have to give up some things in order to get to heaven. And sorcery is one of them, and drugs. But then in the next place, it says hatred. The Christian is to love. We're not to hate. We're to love our spouse, Ephesians 5 and Titus 2. We're to love our brethren, 1 Peter 2 and 17. Love the brotherhood. We're to love our neighbors, Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. We're to love our enemies, Matthew 5 and 43. We're not to hate people. We're to love our strangers, Luke 10, beginning with verse 25. Hate is the opposite. Hate is darkness. Love is light. Hate means we're being evil. Don't be an evil person. Hatred is going to keep people out of heaven. Don't let it keep you out of heaven. Let's live righteously. Let's love our fellow man. And then the Bible says variance. That means contentions or strife. Contentions and strife will keep souls out of heaven. We have a lot of that. We have that in Washington, D.C. We have contentions and strife there. We're not to have strife in our lives. God doesn't want that in our lives. He wants us to have unity. Some people love quarreling. Some people love bickering and drama and squabbling and wrangling. That's not what God's people should love. We should never love that. We should always be peacemakers. Be a peacemaker, the Bible says. And listen to this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Listen to what this says. It says, 2 Timothy and verse 23. Here it is. But it says, but the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, and meekness instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. God wants us to be people who are not striving with one another. Let's not do that. Wrangling and arguing. Don't do that in your home. Be a peacemaker in your home. There's another verse that I want to read. It's very pertinent to our study here on this point. And that's James chapter 3. Listen to this. Listen very carefully. It says in verse 14 of James 3, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." We are to be peacemakers. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts that war in your members?" God doesn't want us to have strife. God wants us to have peace. Now, strife can keep you out of heaven. It's in this list. And that's why we're covering this list, so that we won't practice these things, but we'll be pleasing to God. Then the Bible says, emulations. Emulations is like jealousy and envyings. You know that the Jews delivered Jesus up to be crucified because of envy? That's how bad it can become. Matthew 27. It causes us not to get along. It causes us to be bitter and hateful. God's family must have unity and it must have love. Don't allow emulations, jealousies, and envyings like Saul had for David, King Saul. He envied David, and he sought to kill him. But then the Bible says wrath. Don't practice wrath. Now, Ephesians 4 says, "Be angry and sin not." Now, the wrath in this passage is that sudden, blazing, hot outburst where people are quickly angered. Don't do that. God doesn't want us to do that. That is the anger that we are to put away. Now, we can be angry, but we can't sin. We have to have our anger under control. It's called temperance. We're to be temperate in all things. Don't be angry and commit sin. But then the Bible says heresies or factions. Heresies cause factions and divisions. It's like opinions. We don't want to have opinions that cause divisions. I want to read Romans 16, beginning with verse 17. And this is what we are to do with people who make factions. Romans 16 and 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." We don't want factions. People who cause factions, they're to be marked and they are to be avoided. And so that's one of the things on this list of sins that we need to be careful to listen to. Then it says, envyings. Envyings. Let's not envy people. That is a sin, and God does not want us committing that sin of envious, being envious. And murders. Murders. God doesn't want us to be murderers. Now, murderers can be a hater. 1 John chapter 3 talks about if we hate our brother, we're a murderer. And the Bible says, you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. God doesn't want us to be a murderer nor a drunkard. Don't drink. And don't defend the process of getting drunk. Somebody says, well, it's okay to drink a little bit. No, you're defending the process. You're defending the process of getting drunk. Getting drunk is a sin. Drinking is a sin. Even the process of being drunk is a sin. I want to read a passage to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning verse number 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Look at this. Let's be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. God doesn't want us drinking. He doesn't want us in the process. Be sober. That is not to be drunken there in that passage. That means to start the process. Don't even start the process. Don't defend the process. Don't start the process. And then the Bible says revelings. Revelings, I think of Mardi Gras and New Year's Eve parties, where you're partying, you're drinking, you're getting high, you're getting all messed up. God says don't do that. I want to read a passage from Romans 13 and 13. It says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envying. God wants us to be people who have the right mindset. Having a big old party and getting drunk and carrying on, that's not what God wants for us. Then it says, revelings and such like, things that are like the sinful things that we just read, this list of sinful things that are unclean, that are impure, that are associated with drugs and drunkenness, that are associated with evil and of the world, things that have to do with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God wants us to leave those out of our life. We need to preach these things. This kind of preaching will help us to be fully converted, not half-hearted, not halfway converted. We need to preach what a Christian is all about, and he's not about sin, and he's not about anything that is associated with sin. Let's not be cowards. Let's preach the whole truth. Let's be real Christians, not a bunch of namby-pambies that give in for all these pressures from political groups and moral groups and such as that. Let's be real Christians. All preachers need to stand up and declare the complete purity of the Christian life. Preach it lovingly, yes. But the preacher needs to not only preach it, he needs to live it. Every deacon needs to live it. Every elder needs to live the life that we've just read about, the pure life, the holy life. All the Bible class teachers, they need to live it too. Everybody in the church, young and old. We need to live our lives according to this passage. God's not fooling around. He says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And let's take that seriously. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for being a part of this Bible study. Thank you for being interested in God and in His Word. I hope and pray that you'll read this list and you'll study it more on your own, and you'll think about these things. You'll think about the way you dress and the way you think and the way you behave and the conduct, the movies you see and the music you listen to, that it be pure, that it not contaminate your mind. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ. We're located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas on the Tin Top Road. You can find our website at windmillcoc.org. Thank you for tuning in. We pray God's blessings to be upon you today. We hope and pray we'll see you next time. If not, we hope to see you in heaven. Bye for now.